Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 52 of Isaiah. I'll begin by reading. It's not a very big chapter, just 15 verses. But that doesn't mean there's not a bunch in there. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 52. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. And therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, that they rule over them, they that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name is continually, every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful, beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go you out from henceforth, touch no unclean thing, go you out in the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward, re-reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. As many were astonished at you, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than any the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which has not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Some good stuff here. Of course, it ties into the next chapter, which will be a few weeks for that, but we'll get there. Verse 1, what's he say? Awake, awake. Why would he tell you to wake up? Because you was asleep. First thing, wasn't it? See, we've been lulled into a sleep by religion through the years. Wake up. Come on. Look what's going on around you. Put on your strength. What is our strength? Christ. It's God. It's his Christ. Put it on. O Zion, who's he talking to? First fruit, sons of God. Zion, right? Tabernacles. Feast of Ingathering, Feast of Oneness, Feast of Booths. Put on thy beautiful garments. What is our beautiful garments? His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. O Jerusalem, the holy city. He tells you what he's talking about. As in Revelation says, I've seen the Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. We know what this is. We're talking about first fruit, his bride. Because henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and unclean. What's he talking about? No more unclean thoughts. No more religion. The uncircumcised, the Gentile, the carnal thinkings. That's over. Remember the example I gave years ago about the heart? Ezekiel said, I'm going to take out the old heart and give you a new one. You take the natural, what teaches you about the spiritual. If you take your heart out of your chest and put a heart out of someone else in you, what good is the old heart? It's been severed from your body. What can it be used for? Fertilizer. Best you can do. dog food, you know, I don't know. But you can't use it anymore, can you? So if God takes out the heart, which is the mind, we understand that, right? So if he takes your mind away and gives you the mind of Christ, how can you possibly go back to that thinking process?
Yeah, circumcised was the old
way of thinking.
Prior to the new day, the new beginning.
Sure. So once he circumcises your mind, can you go back and think with the uncircumcised mind? Can't happen, can it? You don't go back there no more. And the ones that play in and out of church and all things, see, they haven't heard anything. They're just playing religion, and that's okay. God's got them where he wants them. But the ones he's talking to can't go back. Paul said, you know, to go back again, you'd have to crucify him afresh. I don't think that's going to happen. Don't think you're going to nail him to a cross again. See, that's not going to happen. But we need to wake up and realize this, and realize that the uncircumcised and the unclean stuff is gone. That mind has been renewed. Okay? He said, shake yourself from the dust. What's the dust? The Passover experience, the first realm. Rise up and sit down. That sounds funny. Rise and sit down. It means get up out of the dust and sit somewhere else, doesn't it? Don't sit in the dust any longer. In Genesis, it says that the dust is the serpent's food. Dust and sand, Passover and Pentecost, those are both experiences in the earthly realms, right? If you're, as long as you're on the earth, the serpent has right to bite you, don't he? Because you're serpent food. But if you walk into the heavenlies, where you're supposed to be seated, guess what? Serpents can't fly. They can't get there. Lion can't walk there, and vultures can't fly there, can they? That's what Isaiah said about it. So the first two realms, you're in a realm of being really tested. Now you come to this realm, you don't have to struggle as much because you know it's not you. You know that God is doing everything in your life. He's taking you where he wants you to go. Remember what he told Peter in was the last part of John, where he said, when you get old, somebody's going to take you where you don't want to go. Well, that's what the Spirit does. When he gets you, and not necessarily old in years, but mature. When you become to maturity, God's going to take you a place that you would never, ever think of going on your own.
You let go of that Adamic nature.
Have taken care of yourself.
Embrace him.
You embrace God. He's going to take you places. I said something to a guy, well, I was talking to Happy yesterday. He said, this is a wild ride. And I said, I tell people all the time, hang on, because it's a hell of a ride. I mean, it's a ride. I mean, it's something you don't expect, is it? Man, I mean, he's going to take you places that you never dreamed. If I ever thought for one moment God would took me through what he's took me through, I'd have committed suicide.
And lived.
I'd have committed suicide. I wouldn't have wanted to go through it. Well, I mean, think about it. Go back over the years and look what you've been through. If you knew ahead of time you was going to go through all this hell, would you have wanted to live through it? I wouldn't have wanted to live through it, but he had to prepare you for it so you could understand it. It's okay.
Isn't that a rise and sit down? Is that like coming higher?
Sure. Same thing. He said that to O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck. Your neck speaks of your stubborn will. And that's what religion is. It's just a stubborn will. I'm right and I'm going to die that way just because I know everybody else is that way. O captive daughter of Zion. See, that tells you something. He said, release yourself from the bands of your neck, that religious thinking and stubborn will. O captive daughter of Zion. He's telling you, you're a son of God. But you've got to loose yourself. You've got to let loose of these thought processes in your head. Like we've talked this morning, Lisa brought it up, we talked last week. It's all in the head, 7 inches between the temples. That's all it is. It's all right there. Don says he's only got 4 inches. He must be a pinhead. Okay. I didn't mean that, Don. Y'all did. I was funny. I was just being funny.
I'm in it.
I know. Quit beating yourself up, though. Verse 3. Because thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing. Hey, what'd you sell yourself for? A trinket? A few pieces of gold? and some kind of idol that you saw in your head, something you thought was more valuable than life with God?
A bowl of lentil beans.
There you go. It's all the same. I mean, it's the same thing. He sold their birthright. So did he. Yeah. He done the same thing. So, but every one of us has done it. Every one of us on the face of it have done it. We just didn't realize it. And in religion, when we were caught up in it, and God's not mad because we was in religion. He knows it's here, and he uses it. It's a step to go through. It's part of the process. You have to overcome. But shake yourself in the dust. There's that religion, not that dust, you know. You have sold yourself for nothing, and you shall be deemed without money. Said, you didn't get anything out. You sold it for nothing. There's no reason to sell yourself, but you did. Haven't we all sold ourselves short? Answer is yes. I'll answer for you. We all have. We're not worthy. Yeah. We sold it for nothing. And you shall be redeemed without money. He's telling you, you don't have a choice in the matter. You shall be redeemed. Every man in his own order. Verse 4, because thus saith the Lord God, my people went down, literally a four times a hard word for me to understand. That don't make sense. That's some English, King James English. Should says, they went down first into Egypt to sojourn there. And that's like coming down to the world. Didn't Jesus make this statement? I am the light that came from above that lights every man that comes into the world. And right here he's talking about them going into the world. Okay? My people went into the world, sojourned there, and the Assyrian, which speaks of duality, which is another step, oppressed them without ceasing. As long as you live in that Passover and Pentecostal realm, like I said a while ago, you're serpent food. You're in the carnal way. The serpent, he's going to bite you, isn't he? There's no way to get... If you're living in a snake den, what do you expect to get? You're going to get bit. And I know people get upset if you say that about the Pentecostal and the Passover experiences, but that's what the symbols of this is talking about. You are susceptible to all that going on, the carnality, because the serpent is only your mind. You're still young and immature, and you're going to get that stuff. Now, therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for nothing, that they that rule over them make them to howl. That means they're mistreated and abused. Doesn't that sound like the church?
They're mocking them.
Yeah. Well, they're abusing them all the time. They're ruling over them and abusing them. Just like the church leaders live in these big mega churches, live with multi-million dollar salaries and fly around jet airplanes and ride in Rolls Royces and Mercedes, and the people coming in that's on welfare barely struggling to get by, or the working poor, I call the ones that work and for minimum wage and can hardly make it, they're hardly making it to get in there, and they're begging their dollars and their nickels and their dimes and their pennies from them. See? Something's wrong there. They're abusing these people.
Dave, isn't this too also that they're abusing themselves?
But absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just saying it's in the natural, which teaches you about the spiritual.
Right.
And I just hadn't got around to there yet, but you're absolutely right. They beat themselves up and make themselves. And when you say you're not worthy, are you not doing that?
Yeah. You're putting yourself in the dust. Yeah.
You say, well, I'm just a natural person. I'm nobody special. God doesn't say that about you. Okay? You're absolutely right. He saith the Lord, and my name or my nature, my character, my authority is continually, every day is blasphemed. And that word blasphemed, I don't know what your opinion of that word is, but literally it means to be spurned or despised. See, nobody wants the character and nature of God because along with it comes a responsibility.
Well, it could be because they're afraid.
It's above them.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're condemning themselves and having a low self-esteem. But still, when I say that I'm not worthy and I act with a low self-esteem, what am I saying to God?
I'm not good enough
to be with you. I'm not good enough to be your son. See? I'm not telling you... try to name and claim something. I'm saying until you understand that you are valuable to your Father, you will never be valuable to yourself or anybody else. You'll just be somebody to be ruled over. And that's not what God called you to be. He called us to be a nation of kings and priests unto our God. Kings don't get walked on. Come on. They don't have to beat anybody up. They don't have to abuse anybody, but they know who they are. And they can stand up and stand on that sea of glass. See, he didn't say lay down on that sea of glass, did he?
No. Is it in doing this, they're spiraling down. God is decreasing in their mind. And
instead of increasing.
Increasing, they're not coming up higher.
Nope. Nope, they're not. They're going right on down. But this next verse, I really love it. Look what it says. That'll just make you shout almost. Therefore, my people shall know my name, nature, character, and authority. There's no option in that. God said, you're going to know it. So guess what? You're going to know it. And when you know it, nobody can take it away from you. Because now it becomes yours. Just like Paul said, this is my gospel. I've seen people get mad and cuss about it and tell you crazy and Paul was crazy. I said, no, Paul knew who he was. That's why he could boldly say, this is my gospel. I'm part of this Christ. And until you see yourself as part of this Christ, you can't claim anything except the bottom of the pit. And that's not our destiny, is it? He come to take you out of the pit. Therefore, they shall know in that day. He didn't say somebody tell you, did he? He said, they'll know that I am he that does speak. Behold, it's I. The I am is speaking. And you got to have this confidence. That don't mean you go out and beat anybody up from where they're at. No. Just you know who you are. You don't have to have a big group of people. You don't have to have a doctrine. You don't have to have anything because you got what you need within you. You got God within you. That's enough. See? If nobody, like I said earlier, if nobody loves me, I know my Father loves me, and that's enough for me. I can make it. See? And then this next verse. God, we've all heard this, haven't we? We hear people preach it all the time, talk about it. I don't think they know what they're talking about, but that's the way it is. How beautiful are the feet, how beautiful upon the mountains. What is the mountain? Literally, it's not mountains, plural. It's mountain. Okay? That changes it. Many mountains or one mountain? There were three mountains in Jerusalem, but there's only one that's important right here. Huh?
Zion.
Mount Zion. Absolutely. How beautiful upon Mount Zion are the feet or the lifestyle of him that brings good tidings. Now, it wasn't just talking about Jesus the man. He's talking about every one of us that come to Mount Zion spiritually, that bring that good news that God is love and he's the God of all people. Didn't he say even the living and the dead? He said he's the God of the living and the dead. He got them all. So he says that brings good tidings, that publishes, and the word publish here, publish a piece, isn't right. The word publish is the word shama. Ooh, who hears intelligently with the intent to respond positively to that peace. He heard the peace. See, Jesus didn't have peace. He was peace. And we heard him. See, when we hear that Christ within us speak with that peace, how can you not respond to it? Hear me?
You said you call me?
Yeah, what you want? That brings good tidings of good, that publish, and that same word there, shama, that hears intelligently with the intent to respond positively to not salvation, but deliverance. When I hear of that peace, I also hear something that come with it. To have peace, you must be delivered. You can't have peace until you've been delivered. Can you? From that thinking in your head that you're not worthy. That's that false image of the beast that he destroyed upon the cross. That says to Zion, who's he talking to? First fruit. Your God reigns. That word God here is not Yahweh, it's Elohim. It's the plurality of God. Your Elohim reigns. Good stuff, ain't it? I could take a lap if I could run.
I volunteer to do it for you.
Did you say you were all volunteer to do it?
You
said earlier you were
it's
already
yeah. Yeah, my back, my body hurts. My mind's healed is what I'm talking about. Yeah, my head's running, I'm telling you.
It's those functioning in Christ.
That's it.
The verse is just in short, it's the ones when you're functioning in Christ. When you
have this peace, you're delivered.
That reflection is just who you are.
That's exactly who you are. Your watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall sing, because they shall see eye to eye. You know what you're going to see eye to eye?
Christ.
Your Christ, your Father, right in the eyes. You know what? That's why he could say he thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
See your reflection in.
Right in there. It's a big mirror. Oh.
Amen. Whew. Glory.
When the Lord shall what? Bring again, no, not bring again, when he restores Zion. When he restores Zion, you're going to be looking eye to eye to the Christ.
Back to your Genesis.
Genesis face, that's it. And then he says in verse 9, break forth into joy. Well, who couldn't? Who wouldn't? Yeah. Anybody want to shout? Break forth into joy. Sing together. You know why? Because we're seeing eye to eye. We use that word saying, we see something eye to eye. What's it saying?
We
agree. We see the same things. We agree.
We know that
song. Yeah, heard that one. He says, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, because the Lord has comforted his people. Did you hear that? Already took care of. Done deal. He has comforted his people. Past tense. He has redeemed, past tense, you get that? Jerusalem. It's a done deal. It was done before the foundation of the world.
You didn't even have to ask for it.
No, you didn't ask for it, did you? No. He's going to take care of it. You know why? Because you're not your own. You were bought with a price.
Amen.
We belong to him, and he's taking care of us. Verse 10, I know I'd be called a hairy tick in the church today, but that's okay.
I'm a hairy kick.
I know. Me too. The Lord has made bare his holy arm. It's his strength. He's made bare. To make it bare means he's revealed it. He's revealed his strength in the eyes of all the nations. Look here. All the nations right here. Right between your head. Right between your ears. Right in your head.
The veil has been rent.
And all the ends of the earth shall see the deliverance of God, Elohim. Elohim. Jesus said this, you shall do greater works than I have done. That's the Elohim's work. To bring the rest of creation in. He said, and the in all the ends of the earth, what part would that leave out?
Nothing. From the beginning to the end.
People ask me all the time, well, what in context, what does that all mean? I can't hardly help but laugh at that one. What does all mean? It includes all.
Just
yeah.
A-L.
Yeah. Which, don't you understand, the A or the L? Maybe that double L confuses them, I don't know. Yeah. Verse 11, depart, depart. He's serious about it. He wants you to go out from there. Get out of there. Touch no unclean thing. Unclean thing is the thinking process of religion.
And your carnal mind.
Same thing. Go you out of the midst of her. And guess what he was talking about in verse 9? Jerusalem. Religious capital of the world. He said, go out from her. Get away from Jerusalem. I want you in Mount Zion. Be ye clean, okay? It means to clarify or to be clear. Remember that sea of glass we talked about a while ago? You go through the fire and that dust and sand becomes clear, crystal clear, doesn't it?
Yes.
That bear or lift up, he said, the ones that bear or lift up the vessels of the Lord. If you're going to serve God, you got to be like that window right there. Clear. You can't hide from people. You can't hide anything. You can't do anything that's wrong. But you know what? It's not even in your power not to do wrong. It's in the mind of Christ that limits you. The love of God, like Paul said, the love of God constrains me, or it limits him. He can only do what that mind of Christ can do. What can the love of God do that's wrong? Nothing. See? You can't do anything wrong, can you? That love of God constrains you, puts you to that point. So when you're serving God, there's nothing you can do but just be who you are. Be who you be. Verse 12, because you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. And that don't sound right. Don't go out with haste, nor go out by flight. The same thing, isn't it? But that word flight here doesn't mean that. It's really, the word means retreat. You'll not go out in a hurry, and you won't retreat.
Like in the army.
You won't retreat. It's a military terminology.
When they left Egypt, they graduated.
They just walked out. They didn't go out with flight. They wasn't running from Pharaoh, was they?
No.
They just all got up, all their stuff. Took them days to get prepared and start walking. And just walked out. And he said, and here's the reason why. He said, you won't go out with haste or in retreat. You're not losing going out. You're going out because God told you to go out. Because the Lord will go before you, and the God of Jacob, Israel, will be your what?
Rearguard.
It says re-reward here, but it should be...
Rearward.
No, it doesn't. It says rear reward.
Rear.
Look at it.
R-E-A-R, rear,
yeah.
Reward.
Yeah. It says R-E-R-E-W-A-R-D in there.
No,
King James says it right there.
Mine says
R-E-R-E-W-A-R-D.
You lost the A.
No, the W-A-R-D comes in there, but it's R-E-R-E-W-A-R-D.
But ours say R-E-A-R-E.
Yeah.
Which is rear guard. Doesn't matter.
But it should say rear guard.
Okay.
It should say rear guard.
Rear guard.
So he's in front of you and he's behind you, so who's going to bother you?
Nobody.
He's got you covered, front and back. Just like when they walked out through the Red Sea.
Yeah.
When Moses brought the Israelites out, they come to the Red Sea and they couldn't get across, so God opened the Red Sea, cleared the path before them, and there was a pillar of fire standing behind them at night, so Pharaoh couldn't touch them.
Right.
They're there? And he took a cloud to cover them while they were in the desert to protect them from the heat. So he's got you covered. Not to worry about it. Okay, verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. And what it should say, he will wisely understand. If you're going to be a servant of God, you're going to wisely understand. Not because you're a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon, but because God is going to give you the understanding. It's a gift. It's not something you earn. If it's intellectual, we're in trouble. Okay? It's not about being a smart person. We're smart enough to hear from our God. That's what we are.
Amen.
If we hear from Him, we know it's true, and that's the end of it. I'm not going to dispute what God says because His Word backs it up. Okay? He shall be exalted and extolled. The word extolled, what's it mean? Highly, huh?
Praised.
Highly praised. He'll be highly praised and be very high. Remember, he said, you know, you don't look for praise. You come. Jesus came down to be a servant, not to be served. And that's the same thing. But in the end, the Christ will be exalted, the many-membered body of Christ. But that's into God's doing. That's not our doing. You know, if we never get anywhere with that, that's okay. We're going to be where we're going to be. That's up to Him. And it's at the end, be very high. As many were astonished, it said astonished, but literally the word should be what? That word astonished, I don't know, some kind of English word, but what it literally means in Hebrew is offended or repelled or shocked at you.
Duh.
Have any of you ever offended people, repelled people, or shocked people because of what you understand?
Daily.
Every day. It's a normal thing. It's okay. It's a natural thing to be.
NIV says they were appalled by him.
Appalled? That's still same understanding. His visage, and the word visage literally means appearance. His appearance was so marred, or literally disfigured, more than any man. Okay? And his form more than the sons of Adam. Now the word man in that verse is Ish, and the last word is Adam. So there's two different words there for man. Most people translate them the same, but they are different. Man and men are two different understandings. Than any man, man being an ordinary human being, and Adam was the number one man. Verse 15, so, or it should say, justly or rightly shall he sprinkle many. Many is not a good word. The word there is myriad. He shall sprinkle myriads of Gentile nations. It's not so many nations, but look at here. These nations right up here. He's going to get them. You can't count them. There's so many of them. These imaginations in our head. He's going to sprinkle them and take care of them. Wash them clean with his blood. The kings shall shut their mouths. What? Not at, wrong preposition. It should be concerning him. Yeah. They'll shut their mouths concerning him. Because that which has not been told them shall they see. You know who those kings are? That's us. Yeah. See, things we've never seen and things we've never heard, he said, you're going to see them. And that which they have not heard shall they consider, or literally understand. Just like I said this morning with Adam, with Alan, I said, you know, when we first met a couple years ago, I said, he started to tell me something and I told him the answer to it. He looked at me and said, I won't say what he said. He said, I torqued him. And I said, why? He said, because you know what it took me 33 years to get to. I said, well, it's a gift. He said, I know it. That's what I meant. I had to work for it and you got it as a gift. I said, but you've got a gift to understand what you to get where you're at. It's a gift too. Even though there's some intellectual part with it, it's a gift to be able to stay so determined to understand that Hebrew language, which is very, very difficult, along with English, and to put it together. Say, I said, you've got your own gift. We just got different gifts. Okay? And he said, even though you haven't heard it, you'll understand it. And I can understand that clearly because I don't know anything about it. But I hear it, and I know what my God says. Don't you? When God speaks to you, you know what it is, don't you?
Yeah.
We can try to ignore it, but it don't work. Ask Jonah. Jonah gave us a good example, didn't he? Unless you want to take a sea cruise in the middle of a hurricane, I wouldn't advise you to disregard what he says. Any questions or comments?